You're listening to 103.5 FM WCOMLP Chapel Hill Cobra, your community radio station. Estás escuchando a 103.5 FM WCOMLP Chapel Hill Cobra.
Well, good afternoon. You are now listening to the Boomer Beat here on WCOM with your host, Beverly Mahone. It is a marvelous Monday in downtown Carrboro, and hopefully it's a marvelous Monday where you are. It's good to be back on the airwaves after being gone for a couple of weeks, taking care of business. But I love talking to you on the radio and bringing exciting guests like the one we have today, who is going to be talking to us about getting organized over the holidays. And certainly, you know, I know that you say, well, you know what, I am organized. But you know what? You're probably not as organized as Janice Russell can get you organized. So Janice is going to be sharing some tips on getting organized. And you know what? Also, we're going to be talking about decluttering too, because what tends to happen over the holidays, you know, we get those gifts and you know, that wrapping paper that we love so much. We want to keep it. The boxes that it came in is so pretty. You know, I kept some wrapping paper from an old boyfriend from like, I mean, almost 40 years ago, until finally I thought, why do I still have this? He's married to someone else. I'm married to someone else. So Janice is going to share some very important information on how we can declutter and get organized. Well, you all know that I am a Cleveland Browns fan, and you know that yesterday they almost pulled it out. They went to overtime with the Dallas Cowboys, and they lost, but they only lost by a field goal. Now, here's the deal. Cleveland is only 2-7 for the season. And Dallas is supposed to be America's team, so I'm not sure if that's a reflection that Cleveland is getting better or that Dallas really isn't all that good. I'm not real sure, but I'm still supporting my Cleveland Browns and the Ohio State University Buckeyes, who are undefeated after beating Wisconsin. One more game to go, and that's against the University of Michigan, where it's, you know, tradition, it's annual, it's the biggest rivalry probably in college football. And after that, I declare that Ohio State University will have an undefeated season. Joining me today is professional organizer Janice Russell. And good afternoon, Janice. How are you?
Good afternoon, Bev. I'm doing fine. I hope you are.
I am. Thank you. You just came back from a trip across the country.
I was in California from the 1st to the 11th, yes.
And we were talking off the mic about, we're kind of going off the subject, but I want to talk about this because we were talking off mic about the fact that I had one carry-on luggage and it cost me $25 to check it. And you said, well, I could have got you packed and you wouldn't have had to pay a dime. And I think that during the holiday season, people would really want to know how you accomplished that. So,
absolutely. I was gone from the 1st to the 11th, and I had a carry-on bag and my personal items, so I did not have to check anything. And I was going for both professional and personal reasons. So one thing I always do is I take as few pairs of shoes as possible because shoes take up a lot of room. So I wore my heaviest pair of shoes. I took two other pairs. One was for professional, the other the personal. I took a reversible dress so I could actually wear it. Yes, they make reversible clothing. So I could wear one side for one day, the professional meeting, and then the other side on the other day and just change up the jewelry. Same shoes both days. And then I took three bottoms and the rest in tops. And of course, undergarments and everything of that nature. But that was how I did it. No problems. Absolutely no problems. I had everything. In fact, a friend offered for me to do laundry and I really didn't even need to do it because I had brought enough for every day.
A reversible dress. I promise you. I have never heard of a reversible dress for women.
Yes. Magellan and Travelsmith are two different travel companies and they each make some reversible clothing. So they're actually reversible tops and jackets and dresses and skirts. And they come in really handy when you're traveling.
And you were gone for 10 days mm-hmm. and you managed to do it. And I think that a lot of people, and I'm sure you would agree with me, overpack because we yes. think that, you know, well, here's my thing. I thought I was going to work out mm-hmm. when I went to travel. Right. Went to Michigan. Well, I had my gym shoes. Mm-hmm. I had my workout clothes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't work out.
Right.
You know, so that
happens a lot. And I know I used to do that. And now I no longer take workout clothes unless I'm really firmly convinced that I'm going to work out. And usually I don't. So I just don't take them. If I do, one thing I will do is have a comfortable pair of shoes that can work for both workout and for just regular walking around, you know, and maybe I'll decide that I'll just do recumbent bike, which is easier to do without a specialized pair of shoes. So that's one thing that can really be helpful.
And if you're traveling to a cold climate, because see it, I initially thought it was going to be extremely cold in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I did check the weather forecast and it said it was going to be blistering cold. I get there and it was seasonably okay. I mean, mm-hmm. it wasn't cold at all. So then I had that extra jacket. I had boots.
Right.
So how do you plan for that?
Well, as far as the jacket, even if it was not cold here, that is something that if you're not going to be checking anything, I would just take it on board with you. A coat doesn't count. A coat is neither a carry-on nor a personal item. You do have to take it off when you go through security, or if you're like me, you would just carry it the whole time. I actually have used bungee cords to bind up the coat really, really small. And sort of attach it to my personal item. So that's one thing that is very helpful. Boots, I really consider not only the temperature, but what else is the weather going to do or not do. If it's going to rain or snow, that necessitates boots. If it's not, or if you're going to be inside the majority of the time, then you really don't need the boots anyway.
And I took a rain, I took an umbrella mm-hmm. because I thought, well, it might rain. So, you know, yeah. So I really overpacked. And then I had this, you know, it wasn't that big of a suitcase. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to lug it around. And I thought, oh, gee, I just need to just check this in because it really is heavy. But it was heavy with a lot of things that I didn't even need.
Correct.
At the time.
Correct. And a lot of people for the holidays are, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, are often not gone very long. I mean, there are some people that go for, you know, a week or longer, but a lot of people are just gone for two or three nights, maybe four. And so to really think about what you need for that length of time and what kinds of things you're likely to be doing will help you to really reduce. And I know there's, especially with women and shoes, but I'm sure men have their things. You know, the feeling that I have to take, you know, a pair of shoes for every possible thing that I could possibly want to do and wear. And I just sort of take that out of the equation. I'm like, I am minimalizing the shoes. In fact, I've traveled for 3.5 weeks overseas and only taken three pairs of shoes because I just have determined that I can manage every outfit in every situation. A couple of times I've taken four, but it's been for very specific trips where I've needed a fourth pair, according to regulations. For example, in the Galapagos, you have to have a special pair of shoes that you're only wearing on the boat and not actually on the island. That was a special case. But normally I take 2 to 3 pairs. I've actually gone to a conference for a week with just 2 pairs of shoes before.
Wow. I don't think I could do that, but I'll try. So now it's okay if you're a single traveler. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you have a couple of kids and you're traveling with them, is it possible to just pack one bag and get it on that suit, on that plane?
Well, remember that each child also is permitted a carry-on and a personal item. So they could have, and most children enjoy pulling the suitcases. So they will need help getting it in the overhead compartment. But when I traveled with my nephew summer a year ago, we went and we were on an airline that charges for luggage. And so I said, I told my sister, he needs a rolling suitcase and a backpack or something else. And that's exactly what he took. And I put the suitcase in the overhead and he had his backpack and he took care of that. That went under the seat in front. But people sometimes don't remember that each child gets the same thing. So you don't have to pack it all in one bag. In fact, you may be able to pack both children in one bag, you know, not children themselves, the children's clothing. Yeah, let's be specific on that one. You know, but don't feel like it has to go with the adult clothing as well. And it especially at Christmas time or Hanukkah time when you have gifts and things like that, I would really look at the cost of shipping them. Because if checking a bag is $25, often shipping is not that expensive. So you could actually ship it for less and then on the airline be able to do a carry-on and a personal item.
I was going to ask you about that. You answered that part of the question. But what happens when you travel and then you see gifts that you want to give? And I, like, for example, I was traveling, had a stopover in Ohio, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh, wow, I should pick up a couple of sweatshirts, T-shirts, you know, for my family mm-hmm. to say, you know, we were in Ohio. And I thought, but what am I going to unpack? How am I going to do this? I did it anyway and mm-hmm. stuffed it in. But what's your recommendations when you are traveling and you see gifts that you might want to bring back with you for family and friends?
That's a great question. When I travel overseas, I actually take clothes that can be demoted. So I take clothes that I might normally take to Goodwill or Salvation Army or places like that, and then I leave them behind. So I actually, my last day in the hotel, I will leave shirts or things like that behind. I will also take well-used undergarments and toss those actually out. But that means that then you have time, you have space coming back to be able to put the new stuff that you've purchased. Now, if you're on more of a businessy trip and you have just, you know, found something, weren't expecting necessarily to find anything, then you may have to look at, for example, one of my favorite things is space bags. Now, most people think of space bags as those things that you have to put the vacuum cleaner on to suck the air out to make them smaller, but they make ones for travel. And so I don't fill the space bags going. I use them for my dirty clothes coming back, which means it shrinks them because all the air comes out. So you automatically have at least a little bit of extra room. I also think in terms of, for example, I have a Kindle that I use when I travel for reading. So I don't take my big books. I take my Kindle, even though I usually at home read books. So I just make some adjustments that way. Also, usually if you end up buying it, say, in the airport or the bag looks like you've bought it in the airport, you can usually manage to sneak that on.
So you're saying clothing that you would be giving to the, you know, Goodwill or mm-hmm. thrift shop or wherever, you just leave them behind in the hotel?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And that is something...
I've left them on every continent I've been on.
Are you serious? I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So next time I can just go and just say, oh...
Yes.
And that's a good way to clean out your closet at home,
too. It's a great way to clean out your closet at home. My travel friend and I have actually written a book called 20 Time-Tested Travel Tips. It's an ebook, and it goes into this and more of ways that you can pack and be prepared, whether it's domestic travel or international travel.
All right. Tell us the name of that ebook again and where we can get it.
It is called 20 Time-Tested Travel Tips. And...
That's a tongue twister.
That is a tongue twister. There are two ways you can access it. One is to go to organizeyourtravel.com, which is an auxiliary site to my main site, or to my main website, which is mindingyourmatters.com. and undermining your mat as you go to products, and it'll be right there. It'll take you to it.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's talk about the holiday season now.
Okay.
Because the holidays are upon us. Boy, did they come by fast. It seems like yesterday it was January, and now we're into Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
So what types of things should we be doing in order to get organized? And I think get organized is such covers such a broad spectrum of things. So if you can kind of like narrow it down for us.
Okay.
And then I will ask you some questions as you tell us how we can get organized.
I usually start by talking about setting the stage. So I'll come back to that in just a minute. But I chunk things down in terms of planning versus gifting versus social activities and decorating, and sort of have those as, we'll call them topics or themes. But my first place to start is with setting the stage, because I think at holiday times, a lot of us have things that we've always done, traditions that we've always done. And some of them we love and we enjoy and we really want to make sure we do them every year. But there are others that we endure, that we're not happy about doing, that don't maybe have the meaning they once have. And so the first thing I urge people to do is to reevaluate some of those and say, hey, you know, is this a habit we want to continue? Is it a tradition we want to continue? Or is this something that we either need to stop or need to maybe modify? So that's the first place I like to start with people, is that idea of what have you been doing that maybe you don't want to even do anymore? The other place I like to start is with the idea of time, because everybody is busy. I mean, everybody is busy. And now we're going to add all the holiday things on top. And we somehow think that although we're currently busy 24 hours a day, that we're going to add this new stuff and we're not going to be any more busy. So what I tell people is, if you're adding stuff, then you need to take away other stuff you've already got on your plate, because you can't keep adding. We can't do anything with the 24 hours in a day. It's all we get. We can't magically have 26 hours between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I talk about, for example, is there a task that you normally do, we'll say cleaning the house, that maybe you can delegate that? Maybe you have family in the house that aren't currently helping with chores of that nature that could do that. Maybe you decide that just during this holiday season that you hire a house cleaner to help you out with that. That will then save you time to be able to do other things. Maybe if you're doing holiday cards, you get some help with that. You get help from, usually it would be children, who could help by putting on address labels and stamps, could stuff the cards, could even fold if you do a holiday letter, could fold that, put it in the envelope, and all you're really having to do is to make sure the labels are printed out and that the child knows where the stamp goes versus the label versus the return label, of course, depending on the age of the child. So that really is the first thing. You know, is there anything else? Are there, for example, are there prep things that maybe once a week you go to the grocery store and get some some already prepared meals? Obviously, you can always go out, but usually that actually takes extra time and money and lots of extra calories too. And most people like to save those calories for other party environments. But you can go out and get, you know, the already cooked Cornish hen and something off the salad bar and, you know, things like that. And then that's going to save you some time from actually having to prepare a full meal.
Well, let me ask you this, Janice. Does this all begin with a list? Because in the beginning, you talked about looking at some of the traditions that families might do, and then kind of like, well, if this is very time consuming, then maybe we should cross it off. But what tends to happen in a lot of families is while they take away stuff, they replace it with something else. So that's not really saving you any time. It's just doing something different. So do you need a list to start with?
I think you need a plan, and how you're going to facilitate that plan is going to be different for some people. Some people love lists. So they're going to be all over the list idea. Other people, when you start talking about a list, they start shivering in their boots because the idea of a list is just a really scary thing. So maybe they need to use post-it notes on a big piece of paper and put things on that and move those around and take them off and move them from one place to another. Maybe they need a piece of paper that says top priority and a piece of paper that says medium priority. And they put one task per post-it note and they just put them on whichever priority it seems to be for them. So how you prepare may be different. For some people, it might be mind mapping, which is a whole different thing altogether. But indeed, to do some preparation. If you don't like the word planning, think about the word preparation. Some people, it's really a word thing for some people. But to think in terms of, because we know that you're going to be replacing that, as much as you might save time by having a house cleaner, you know, you're going to be replacing it with preparing for a holiday party. That's why I'm trying to get people to take away some stuff, even if it's only temporarily. Because automatically they're going to be adding things, because they're going to be holiday parties, there's going to be shopping, there's going to be wrapping, there's going to be more holiday parties. you know, there's going to be, if you have people coming over, there's going to be preparing the house, you know, getting all the decorations up, etc. So the biggest problem is most people try to add that on top of everything else. We got to remove things. And one of the best ways to do that is to do some preparation in advance and some thinking. And we can go over during this time here some of those very specific things. But I thought I'd sort of start at that beginning of, a lot of times we just don't even really think in terms of that time piece. And so we don't plan for it. And another thing that tends to impact us a lot is that internal chatter that goes on in our heads. You know, the one that says, I must throw the perfect party, and the perfect party means this, 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 and this. And again, that's a place where you have to make some adjustments. You have to do some planning. You know, you usually can't call a caterer, you know, 20 minutes before the party's going to start. That's something you have to plan in advance. But sometimes it's something that's really well worth your stress level.
And you talked about, you know, getting the Cornish hen from somewhere and a salad from somewhere. But, you know, the whole idea of like a Thanksgiving dinner is to, you know, moms and grandmas love to prepare it themselves. So how dare you say to grandma that you should go out and get a Cornish hen, because grandma really gets a kick out of all of the preparations. Is there any real way around that?
There is. I'm not necessarily thinking of Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day dinner, because I know there is a lot of tradition around that. Although, you know, if you can manage to get around it, that's great. But for example, dinner on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. There's nothing that says that you have to prepare a humongous dinner on Wednesday night just because it's 6 o'clock and it's dinner time. There's nothing saying that you couldn't go out and, you know, get pre-made burgers and grill them up, you know, not even getting the hamburger, you know, 1 or 2 pounds, but get them, they're already in the burger. You're ready to go, you know. Go ahead and buy the chopped tomatoes or whatever. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. Or again, you know, Christmas Eve, if you have a big dinner on Christmas Day, there's nothing saying that on Christmas Eve you can't do something a little bit different. Or all those days between Thanksgiving and Christmas when you're a little pressed for time. Or doing something like, for example, we have that extra week this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas because we have almost a full week of November before December hits. So let's say that you're going to make lasagna one night for dinner. You know, I'll pick a date, you know, November 26th. Make two and put one in the freezer and then pull it out again on December 15th. You know, and then you just have to get a salad and some bread with it. So, you know, you can start doing some of that kind of stuff. Now, some of the leftovers from Thanksgiving dinner, you could actually freeze those in portions to be able to pull it out as a whole dinner later on, you know, in another couple of weeks.
You're listening to The Boomer Beat here on WCOM with your host, Beverly Mahone, and my special guest today, Janice Russell, who is a professional organizer, but she's so much more than that. I keep calling her a professional organizer, but she's an author and she's a world traveler too. We haven't even talked about all the places that she's been. And she's also, and I don't know if I should say this, folks, but she's also a Duke basketball fan. But we won't say that but one time. Okay.
Because but we did win last night.
Well, yeah, but we're in enemy territory, so we don't want to let everybody know. We don't want them to bum rush the radio station.
No.
But we're talking about getting organized. And since it's the holiday season, I thought it would be perfect to have Janice come in and talk to us about getting organized. Now, it's that time of year when we're going to start decorating our homes, our trees, our cars. People even decorate their cars now with holiday lights, which is so bizarre. So give us some tips on, you know, how we can really be organized in that way.
Okay. So the first thing I urge people to do is to keep it simple. Again, at the very beginning, I talked about there are some traditions that you may or may not want to do anymore. And some of those could be around decorating. Maybe you've always decorated from, you know, sort of tip to toe of the house and the car and everything else. Maybe this year you just want to decorate a couple of rooms. You know, if you're going to have a party, maybe you want to decorate in those rooms, but maybe not in the other rooms. I mean, there's nothing saying that you have to decorate as extensively as you have in the past. So that's sort of the first thing is decide what's good for you in your circumstance and with your family. You know, if you have a family with young children where you're going to have to, or pets that you have to watch out for, then maybe you don't have some of the decorations up rather than fretting about, oh my goodness, is this going to get knocked over and broken? Or, you know, are the lights, is somebody going to trip over the lights, you know, et cetera. So that's sort of the first place to start. The second place is the idea of maybe creating a tradition around decorating itself. Now, I'll give you an example. I have Christmas every other year, maybe every third year. And so what I've done sometimes is the day after Thanksgiving, I have had my nephews and my parents and any other family that happens to be in town to my house to actually help me with the decorating. So, like, for example, on Friday, my nephews are coming up, my parents will be there, and we'll get out everything, and they'll help put the stuff on the tree, and we'll make some fudge together. And so that makes it easier. Now, do I expect the tree is going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But that's okay, because they will have helped to do the decorating. So that's another thing. You can also have a tradition around undecorating it at the end of the season. So just because you had help putting it up doesn't mean you can't also have help at the end. So that's another thing to consider. But one of the biggest things is, as you take out your decorations, to think about the best way to store them at the end. So a lot of times you may have boxes that are, you know, crinkled or torn. You may have tangled up lights. You may have all sorts of things. So one thing is, hey, you know, every year I really hate untangling these lights. So what can I do when I pack them up so they aren't tangled this year? You know, and looking for the right containers, because the holiday season is the best time to look for the containers that you might use when you're storing your holiday decorations. So if you need to replace them, now is a good time. I usually suggest clear containers if you're celebrating Christmas, then with either red or green lids, so that you can tell that they have something to do with Christmas. But, you know, they have, I mean, they have rolling containers and they have plastic containers and they have cardboard. I mean, there are all sorts of containers. So to really think about, you know, where are you storing stuff? If you're storing stuff in an attic, paper containers are not the best, because any pest service will tell you that the more paper you have, like in your attic or in your basement, the more pests that you could possibly have. So therefore, plastic is going to be better. Another thing I really suggest is to take pictures of your decorations once you're done, because then next year, if you want to replicate it, you've got the picture and you don't have to remember. And you store the picture, because that's the next question people say. Well, I've taken the pictures, but then I don't remember where I put them. So you put the pictures with the decorations.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
You put them in the box or boxes with the decorations.
That makes total sense. Well, now, okay, this is what we, our dilemma every year is that when we're getting ready to decorate the tree, we've got all these lights and we got to go through and check every light bulb to make sure that the light bulb is working on the tree. Is there any way around that? Should we buy new lights every year? What do you recommend for, because that can be time consuming.
It absolutely can. And I, the way I got around it was I have bought a fake tree that is already pre-lit. So, and the lights are on there. Like when I take the tree parts out and put it together, because it's in three parts, it's a nice 6-foot tree, you know, the lights are on it. And so I don't have to worry about that. And if a light goes out, I only have to replace the individual light. So it's not, the older the light string is, the more likely it is that you can have one out anywhere and it takes the whole entire strand out. So the most of the newer lights, it's just whenever one bulb goes out, that bulb goes out and you replace that bulb. So I would say double check and see what kind of lights you have and maybe consider replacing them with the type where you just remove the one that's not working anymore, rather than having to figure out which one's not working and replace that one to make everything work again.
Gotcha. Okay, let's move on to the house parties, the holiday parties, because not everyone, but I'm always invited to a number of holiday parties, some of them very, very good. Some of them I wonder, well, why did they decide to have a party? So how do we make sure that we have a great party, but we haven't worked ourselves to death in order to have that great party?
I think the first place to start with that is to minimize that brain chatter, to try to say, when the brain comes up and it says, I have to have the perfect party because Sally Jane is going to really wonder if I do this and such, or so-and-so is going to really look down on me if I don't do this year because I've done it every year in the past. So the first thing is to really change that and to say, I want to enjoy my time at my party this year. I want to have family and friends here to have a good time. And I know that everything's not going to be perfect, but if everybody has a good time, that's what matters. So that's the first place to change. Then from there, I try to look at where can you simplify. So for example, buying holiday paper goods and not having to use your china,
the good china,
your glassware.
Because we want to impress.
We want to impress, but, you know, again, that's where you're sort of forgiving yourself and you're letting yourself off the hook and you're saying, you know what, you know, and even if, I mean, I understand that, you know, that the holiday paper goods are wasteful, but if you're only doing it once a year and not, you know, every single party you throw throughout the year or all of your meals, then I think it's okay. And it will give you more time because A, you don't have to inspect all the dishes ahead of time, and then B, you don't have to wash them all and put them all away afterwards. So that's one place. Another place is to consider having part of the food catered or purchased. So, you know, either call a caterer who will come in and bring stuff or go and get, you know, party platters or stuff like that. And you can mix and match that. So if you don't, you know, if you aren't ready to cater everything or to pre-purchase everything, then maybe do it for some of it. You know, maybe some sandwiches or the main dishes. You know, Mrs. Stouffer's makes a great lasagna. She does. And she makes them in big sizes, too. So you could do that and then make a salad that you really like. And then you can get the garlic bread, you know, the frozen garlic bread. And then maybe you just make the salad and maybe you make some fun desserts or whatever. So decide about that. Also, have a buffet. Have everybody have to bring something. And usually if you're having enough people, you don't even have to coordinate who's bringing what. It's just like everybody bring enough for whoever, you know, for you, your family, you and your significant other, whatever. And, you know, plus two other people, you know, kind of a thing. And then you're going to have plenty. Another thing.
So you're saying then if you're planning a party, having a party, that you should always count on some extra people.
Well, yes, because you never know who's going to eat more, who's really, really hungry that day. Or, you know, even if you have RSVPs, you know that there are always a couple of people that didn't who are going to show up. So, you know, for example, if it's mainly a couples party, you know, if everybody's just bringing enough for the two of them, that doesn't allow as much to share and for other people to try. So if everybody brings enough for four people, then there's a lot more to go around. And usually that's not an issue. But, you know, just in case, if you want to cover your bases, you know, you can say that. Another thing to do is to do Evites. You know, these days, you don't necessarily have to send out something snail mail. You can send it out through electronic mail if you have everybody's email address, and you can even set it up with some reminders. So, you know, that's another thing. You don't have to worry about addressing things and getting the stamps and all that kind of stuff. You can do it electronically, and you can even get the RSVPs and everything right there electronically. So another way that you can simplify. Of course, if the majority of people are on email. If you have a party where there are a lot of people not on email, then you may still want to do the traditional mailing.
I still love getting invitations in the mail. I'm just, that's just me.
And there's, you know, that's where, I like getting them in the mail too, but if I'm going to throw a party, I'm going to consider when it comes to my time, is it going to be better spent sending out all those invitations or sending out a blast email? And if I have time and if I really want to send it out in mail, then that's fine. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm just saying that there are some traditions that, you know, that people have always had, like they've always sent out the mailings, that this might be a year if they're really busy when they change that and they do e-vites instead.
So we're talking about, cutting down on the time you spend, mm-hmm. as well as getting organized, because right. the two kind of can go hand in hand.
They do, absolutely. And think of it this way. If you send out a regular card and you've got an RSVP, that means that the person on the other end has to not only open it, but they may have to consult with their significant other, and then they've got to either call you or mail you back or whatever. If it's on Evite, then it's much easier for them to either respond right quickly right then or to just have to ask, you know, the significant other and then come back and respond. So it's less steps to doing that than it is. And they're also less likely to use it because you can send out other reminders. Whereas if you've sent out the one paper invitation, if it gets lost under a stack, it's gone.
So technology is supposed to make our life easier.
Sometimes I won't say that it always does. I don't want anybody to mishear me there. But, you know, it's one of those things to consider. It's not right for everybody. There will be people that will never, ever do e-vites, and that's okay. But when you're trying to pick and choose how you're going to use your time, you need to know what your options are, and then you can decide which options you want to take. Just like you can do your own party spread yourself too, or you can decide to purchase some of the food or cater some of the food. It's not that any way is right or wrong. It's what's going to work better for you so that you can feel relaxed and like you've done what you need to do, but that you can have a good time.
Let's talk about those gifts, because I spend a lot of time searching for gifts. And then at the last minute, I come up with a name that I forgot, and oh God, I got to get them a gift. Or someone gives me a gift, and they weren't on my list, and now I've got to give them a gift. Mm-hmm. So how do we organize ourselves so that we are not spending so much time looking for and purchasing gifts? And then let's, you know, talking about the wrapping those gifts after that. But
okay.
How do we do that?
There are a couple of different ways to go about that. One is to have a master list of gifts that you are, you know, your people that you're going to be giving gifts to, and then what you've given them. And you can do, if you're, you know, on the computer, you can do it as like an Excel spreadsheet if you want to. If you're handwriting it, you can just make columns. It's usually helpful to sort of know what you gave them previous years so that you aren't repeating something. Another thing to do is to think in terms of giving more experiences than actual gifts. So let me clarify that one. So, for example, maybe you've got a good friend and the two of you enjoy movies and you haven't been to one in a long time. Maybe you give her a gift certificate that says, I want to treat you to a movie and we can have coffee afterwards or whatever. Then you're not actually adding to their stuff and you'll be able to spend some time together. One of the things my mom did one year was that my dad was talking about getting a convertible, and she was not convinced that he really wanted one, but that he was more just going through a stage, we'll say. So she rented him a convertible for a week. She went to a rental agency, and, you know, so what a great way. He could have his convertible and decide whether or not he might want one long term, but he wasn't making the big commitment until after he tried it. Another thing you can do is give things like, for example, gas station cards, you know, or a car wash, or, of course, manicure, pedicure is pretty, you know, pretty standard. I know there are some people, and I'm starting to do this more and more, who I'll go to some of my friends and say, you know what, I don't need any more stuff. And so, you know, I love that you enjoy giving me a gift, but I would really prefer that instead you give a donation in my name to a place. Or they can plant trees in the Amazon, or they can adopt gorillas in, you know, Rwanda. I mean, there are lots of different things that can be done that are meaningful without actually adding to the stuff. But if you're going to give stuff, then one thing you can do is think of a theme for the year. So, for example, maybe this year it's a food theme and you're going to give everybody, maybe you won't say Mexican, that everybody gets Mexican because somebody might not like it, but, you know, you're going to put together some food baskets, one with Mexican food and one with Chinese food and one with some other, you know, Italian food. And so all your friends are going to get food baskets. And so that's a theme. And so it just makes it a little bit easier when you're buying, because then you just sort of need to know who doesn't eat what. Is one of the best ways to do that. So, you know, but really a lot of it is considering, you know, also goes back to who have you sort of always exchanged gifts with that it really doesn't mean much anymore. It just sort of is a habit. And do you need to talk to that person and say, hey, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and I appreciate our friendship, but again, I don't need any more stuff. And I'd rather us spend some time together. You know, I would rather that be the gift this year.
I like that idea as well. Well, let's talk about the wrapping and of the gifts. Because as I did say in the beginning of the show, you know, there was a gift that I'd received when I was in high school from this boy that I just loved. Oh, my. And I saved that box and that paper, and I carried it with me every state I moved to until finally, it wasn't that long ago, within the last 5 years, I thought I was cleaning out some stuff, and I thought, oh, my, I still have this. Let's throw it away now, you know. So how do we organize ourselves when it comes to wrapping gifts and paper and throwing away stuff that you feel has sentimental value, et cetera, et cetera? Because some people do believe that wrapping paper from certain people is sentimentally wonderful.
Okay, so I'll start there and then back into the other stuff. So if it's sentimentally wonderful, think in turn. You may have heard of people taking T-shirts and having quilts made out of them. Okay, think of this the same way. Maybe you get a picture frame and you create a collage of 2-inch squares of each piece of wrapping paper that has meaning to it. Or maybe you have the square and a little note underneath or something like that, and then you put it in a frame. So if it's the sentimental value, then let's figure out a way to keep the sentiment without necessarily keeping all of the paper. You could take pictures and make a little photo album of all your favorite paper from people. You know, there are lots of different ways to get around that particular piece. As far as the actual wrapping, I'm going to tell you an idea that I heard quite a while ago that I think is a fabulous idea. It's a little bit out of people's comfort zone, but I know this is where I'm going with my stuff. I'm buying several rolls of plain colored paper. And then it's the bows where I distinguish things. So, for example, red paper can be used for Christmas, but it can also be used for Valentine's Day. And so it might be that the ribbon then that you use Christmas ribbon at Christmas time and little heart ribbon at Valentine's Day time. It also would work for 4th of July if you happen to be giving gifts at 4th of July. You know, green paper is not only Christmas, but it could be St. Patrick's Day or a birthday for that matter. You know, white paper can be used for almost anything. So one way is to be able to actually cut down on the amount of paper by just having some generic colors and then spiffing it up, as it were, with the ribbons. Another thing that I know some families have done is they've gotten some of the, they do make some big or different size, we'll say, cloth bags. And so maybe it's, okay, Johnny always gets the red bags with the, you know, with the gold stars on them. So all of his gifts are in that. So I just have to pick out one of those every time. And then, you know, Sally gets the green bags with the candy canes on them. And so then you just have the cloth bags. When they open them, they actually give them back to you so that you can recycle them and use them the next year. So that's one way to make it a little bit easier. I don't advise keeping too many boxes because they take up space and you never end up using as many as you keep. So, you know, that's where I advise really having a boundary. So, for example, maybe you have, you know, one of the, not the huge plastic containers, but sort of the medium-sized plastic container, and you put boxes in there that you might use for wrapping, and when that container is full, then you can't keep any more boxes. So you just have, this is sort of your boundary for gift boxes are in here, and once they overflow, then I either need to take some out and to put the new ones in, or I'm just not going to put any new ones in. And these days, there are so many communities that recycle, you can think in terms of, I can recycle these. Or maybe, you know, maybe you can find, for example, maybe there's, you know, a a nursing home or other place that wraps presents for other people, you know, and maybe they need some. I mean, I don't know, because, you know, in some of the nursing homes, people have really, really small spaces. They can't necessarily keep lots of wrapping paper and lots of boxes. So maybe you could check with the nursing home and say, hey, do you have residents who need some extra wrapping paper or extra boxes?
So you don't recommend just storing them away for next year? You're just getting rid of them? And
well, you can keep some of them. But again, that's where you want to sort of have a boundary for this is how much I'm keeping. And then beyond that, I'm going to give it away. Otherwise, then, if you have, whether it's an attic or a basement or a spare bedroom, you know, you don't want it filled with extra boxes and extra wrapping paper. You want to have enough, but not too much.
All right. Well, you know what, Jana, speaking of having enough, we don't have enough time to keep going because the clock on the wall says it is just about time to get out of here. But you have just given some absolutely awesome tips on organizing over the holiday season or any time. Is there anything you want to leave us with? Because I do want you to tell us the name of that ebook again and then how folks can get in touch with you.
Okay.
To learn more about you, what you do, how you do it, why you do it, and how they may need you to do it.
Okay. Well, I guess just sort of the final thought is the holiday time is supposed to be a joyful time. And I think we've put so much into it and that oftentimes it's not joyful. It's just sort of drudgery and something to be gotten through, you know, like, oh, I'm just trying to make it until December 26th. And so to think in terms of what can I do to make this a more joyful season, whether that means simplifying, taking something away you've always done, you know, getting help that you haven't ever had before, or getting gift certificates for everybody, you know, think of something that will make it simpler so that it can be a much more joyful and relaxing holiday. I can do contact information or do you
want to? Yes, absolutely, okay. Please.
So the book is 20 time-tested travel tips, and you can find that on our main website, which is mindingyourmatters.com. That main site also has a place where you can sign up for our newsletter, which is an electronic one, and you can unsubscribe at any time if it starts creating too much clutter.
It will not come to your home, I promise.
So that gives tips and tricks and stuff every month of different things that different ways to organize, whether it's in your home or in your office. We do provide organizing in sort of three different areas. We provide it in the home, we provide it in the office, and we provide it in regards to your time. We can either do it virtually over the phone or something like Skype, or we can work in person with people. Some people find that a combination works really well. And we do it as much or as little as someone needs. So some people just need a little bit of help occasionally, maybe a couple of hours, and other people may need it on a more regular basis.
And I might also add that if you just want to see what Janice is talking about, other tips, you can check out her YouTube channel.
Absolutely. We have lots of different YouTube videos on a number of different things. So that's a great way. We also have a lot of articles, and you can find a list of those on our website that will also tell you a lot of other information that may indeed be helpful. Just remember, organizing is a learned skill, but you didn't probably learn it in high school or in college. So we really want to help people learn how to do it so they can be self-sufficient in being organized in a way that's functional for them.
And I want to add this, that if you have a friend you know needs to get better organized, let them know about this particular show, The Boomer Beat, and it will be in a podcast so that you can share it with them and then they can share it with their friends and then next time this year, we'll all be organized, thanks to Janice Russell.
And by the way, we do gift certificates. So if you're looking for a gift to give somebody, with their permission, of course, no surprises, then we do gift certificates as well.
All right. Well, very good. Well, Janice, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you to you as well.
And happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. And thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. And we'll begin the Christmas music next week. And we also want to say goodbye to my grandson, Gerard, who is sick today. But you wouldn't know it if you looked at him right now. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Que yo haga lo que haces. Papi. Si me dices que yo diga lo que dices.
Sí.
Y si esperas que yo espere lo que esperas.
Fumano lo mío, fumano lo mío,
fumano lo mío,
fumano lo mío.
No me importa si no dices.
hago.
Malo.
Yo no espero que tú esperes lo que espero. Fumarnos lo mío, fumarnos lo mío. Fumarnos lo mío, fumarnos lo mío.
Yo sé lo que quiero, fumar no es lo mío.
Liga Colombiana contra el Cáncer. Lucha por la vida.